This is Mike Hennessy, and on behalf of the team at DecodingHim.com, I'd like to welcome you to today's conversation with Michelle Marchant-Johnson. Michelle, welcome. We're pleased to have you with us today. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and give us some of your professional background?
Yes, Mike. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here with you today. As Mike mentioned, my name is Michelle Marchant-Johnson, and my business is Love Life Coaching. And I am an author, speaker, and professional relationship coach. And I'm blessed to partner with successful, amazing single women throughout the world who are seeking to find authentic love and affectionate and true romance. I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I not only want you to find a relationship, but I want you to find the right guy. And I am fortunate to have many articles that have been published throughout various internet sites and was very thrilled and honored to have recently been recognized by datingadvice.com as one of the top 10 midlife relationship experts for 2013. And I'm also currently authoring a book entitled Love from the Inside Out. And that's because a lot of the work that I do with my clients is based upon some deep transformational work. And I kind of like to describe it this way. There's a poet named Rumi, and he says, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." And removing those barriers to love is really the foundation of a lot of the work that I do with my clients. Now, if it's okay with you, Mike, I'd like to just tell a little bit, that's kind of my professional credentials, but I'd like to tell a little bit about my personal story and why I'm so passionate about the work that I do. Would that be all right?
It absolutely would be.
Okay, wonderful. I grew up in a large religious family. I'm the oldest of six children, and marriage and family and relationships were very much emphasized. And I'm 15 years older than my youngest brother. And of course, I grew up believing and thinking that I would marry, have a family, have children. That was just kind of the natural pattern and way things would go. And everything seemed normal. I went through high school, graduated from university, had a normal social life, dated, had relationships, but for whatever reason, throughout those years that I thought I might marry, I didn't marry, and graduated from university as a single woman and started working in corporate America. And I spent over 20 years having a very successful career in corporate America, and yet for whatever reason, this one piece of my life, meeting and marrying the right man, just didn't seem to work out for me. I used to joke around and say that I was going to write a book called Dating for Decades, chronicling all of my experiences that I had during those years. And there were periods of time during those years where I just kind of thought, okay, you know, I'm just not going to care about this anymore, out of frustration or out of having a disappointment or something that didn't work out. I would just say, I'm just going to have the most amazing life that I can as a single woman. And so for a period of time, that might kind of work out. And then there were other times when I almost felt a little panicked. There were other times when I felt very angry about it and frustrated, and I couldn't understand why this seemed to be so simple for most people, but for me seemed to be a challenging aspect of my life. And it's kind of a cycle that I would go through again and again, but eventually, all the time, after a period of time, no matter what phase I was in, this desire that I had to meet and marry someone amazing would rise to the surface, and it was a difficult feeling to ignore. It would become very poignant to me that was something that I still really wanted in my life. In the meantime, you turn 25, 30, 35, 40. I'm still single, having all of these big birthdays, and all of my younger siblings, even my brother who's 15 years younger than I, all got married, had children, started families. I went to all these weddings and events for babies and all of these things, and it just became painful at times for me to not be able to, I was happy for them, but for me to not be able to figure out why I couldn't seem to get this aspect of my life to click. And so when I turned 40, I went on a very passionate journey of self-discovery and decided that I was going to leave no stone unturned and to try to figure out for myself what might be slowing me down, standing in the way, or stopping me from progressing in this area of my life. And literally in about a year and a half period of time, I read over 125 books on relationships, communication, differences between men and women, marriage, all of these different things. And I felt that even though not everything resonated with me that I read in all of these books, there was usually at least a nugget of wisdom or a little breakthrough that I would have as a result of these things that I read. And I also began really participating actively in some programs and seeking some support and seeking some coaching to help me to kind of see maybe what barriers I had built around myself that were preventing me from being able to receive the kind of love that I wanted in my life. And I did begin to make some amazing discoveries and breakthroughs. And one of the things that I found was that I had been self-sabotaging in some ways that I had not previously realized. And while I had thought that I was really ready and open and able to receive and be in a place to find the right relationship, in reality, in certain ways, I was self-sabotaging through some of my thoughts and through some of my behaviors. And as now I've come to the place where I work with so many women throughout the world who are also seeking to find their way forward on this path, I find that a lot of these things are almost universal. And we'll talk about some of those in the call a little later on. But as a result of this deep work that I did, I was able to make some significant breakthroughs, and I came to believe in a whole new way that not only was it possible for me still to meet and marry the man of my dreams, but that it was almost inevitable. I came to believe that it absolutely would happen, and I'm happy to report that at age 43, I met and married an amazing, wonderful man, and we've been married for almost 7 years now, and it's been one of the greatest joys and blessings of my life. And as a result of my own journey and how challenging it was, and yet how fulfilling it has been to move through that and to find this wonderful relationship, I'm very passionate about helping other women who are on that same journey. And just one little side note before we move on, about a year and a half ago, I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's been a very difficult and challenging path, to say the least. I had to go through chemo, surgery, radiation. I lost all my hair. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die. And during this period of time, my husband would kiss my head and tell me I was beautiful at the times that I felt the least beautiful I'd ever felt in my life, and was there to help me feel like I had to go through this most challenging and difficult experience of my life alone. And I came to understand and appreciate him on a whole nother level. And the value of having in my life at this time has been priceless. And while that's a dramatic example, what I can say is that all of our lives are going to have some unexpected twists and turns. And to have someone to share the ups and downs and the highs and lows and the joys and the sorrows with someone who you love and who loves you is an unspeakable blessing. And I'm pleased to tell you that my prognosis is good at this point, and we're very grateful for that and looking forward to many happy years together. But I just wanted to share this because this is why I'm so passionate about doing what I do. And just wanted to have that as kind of the foundation for our discussion today.
It sounds like a great foundation indeed. Now, you're talking about women specifically that you're targeting in their late 30s and 40s. And there are specific challenges, I gather, that you've discovered both through personal experience and research that women in this age group can face when it comes to dating. Could you talk about some of them and perhaps how you overcome those obstacles?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. I've worked with women of all ages and stations in life, but I do find that once a woman reaches her late 30s or 40s or even into her 50s and has either not found the right relationship or perhaps has been through the disappointment or heartache of a divorce or some other challenging relationship difficulty, there are some new things things that kind of come to the surface. There certainly are the biological clock issues, which, you know, are very real for women if they're still hoping or wanting to have children. But above and beyond that, there are sometimes some societal pressures or family pressures where they start to feel like they've kind of failed. When I would go to some of these weddings of some of my siblings, people would say, when's it going to be your turn? Or I can't quite understand why you haven't found somebody yet. And, you know, even though I was very successful in my career, this made me feel like I was a complete failure as a person, that I hadn't found the right person in my life. And it's also sometimes difficult for women as they get a little older and have a few more disappointments and heartaches, not to become maybe a little bitter at times. And I can tell you that bitterness is not an attractive quality. It does not draw the men in. And that's something that women go through, disappointments or heartaches or hurt, have to be aware of, that they're not giving off that bitter, angry vibe, because that can definitely be man repellent. It's kind of a common belief also for women in this stage of life to believe the problem or difficulty lies with the men out there. You know, all the good ones are taken, or they're all jerks, or they all want one thing or whatever, or that there's kind of some major flaw in the cosmos as to why things just haven't worked out. And yet, like I said, that I discovered for myself, and also that I discovered with working with many of my clients, there tend to be a lot of self-limiting beliefs and some self-sabotaging behaviors which can really impact a woman's possibility for finding love. And I just wanted to mention just a few of those, if that would be okay.
Sure. That's interesting, because one of the things you mentioned, self-sabotaging, there's so many times I think that we discover that whatever we're after, whether it's love or material possessions or success in a business career, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and we don't even realize it. And I think that's kind of what you've hit on here. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of saying, going to lose 30 pounds and then secretly stocking the cupboard with candy bars and the freezer with ice cream. It's kind of like, on one hand, I may be working out every day, but I'm sneaking 3 or 4 chocolate bars into my diet each day, thinking that I'm really getting away with something. Or it's like we do these funny things sometimes without even realizing it, right?
Yeah, and it's not so funny when we take a look at it sometimes and say, what have I been thinking for all those years?
Right. Right. Some of the most common self-sabotaging beliefs and or behaviors that I see out there, and I'm the first person to say I think I had all of these at one time or another. Some of the most common ones are as follows. The first one is just a simple lack of belief that there is someone out there. And I think the reason why this is significant is that our minds are so powerful. And if that's the prevailing thought in a woman's mind, her mind is going to find evidence to back that up and to more or less create a self-fulfilling prophecy. And in so doing this, in really believe that, instead of seeing abundance in the world, a woman sees lack, and her mind is going to find all kinds of evidence to support that. And that is definitely one of the most common challenging beliefs, is women stop believing that there really is someone out there for them. Another one that I see that's really common is kind of settling for less than you deserve. And sometimes, and I know I did this as a single woman from time to time, I would be so lonely or I would feel so frustrated that I would kind of just settle into dating someone that I kind of knew we weren't, not that he wasn't a good guy, but we probably weren't a good match for each other. But because it seemed easier than being alone, I would just spend time with them. And it was kind of like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And it was probably equally frustrating for the man as well, because we just weren't that well suited. And the danger of this is that you can spend so much time, valuable and precious time, doing this kind of thing that it can really be a self-sabotaging behavior, because you're not open and available and free to meet and attract and get to know someone who might be more well suited to you. Another one is holding on to the past. By this stage in life, we all have some baggage, and the joke is we just hope that it can still fit in the overhead bin. But as long as we're still holding on to hurt or heartache or anger or unresolved issues from the past, it can be very difficult for us to be able to be open to and receptive to receiving love. And unfortunately, I have some bad news, and that is that there is no relationship without risk. Or another way to put it might be, there is no intimacy without vulnerability. And if there are these past hurts or sorrows or heartaches from the past that are unresolved, it may make it very challenging to be able to move forward, because as a result of those, we build these protective walls around ourselves, figuratively speaking, and it allows, we think it's protecting us, but what it really does is it actually builds a barrier around us, which makes it impossible for us to be open to and receptive to the love that we're really seeking. And it really can keep us lonely. While we think we're protecting ourselves, it can really keep us lonely. There are those kinds of things in the past. It's really important to do the work to resolve them and to find peace and to find forgiveness in as much as it may be possible. And that was part of the work that I had to do in order to make it possible for me to meet and marry my Mr. Right. And I've also seen that to be the case with many of my clients. Another one is ambivalence. And that's basically, you know, women kind of saying, oh, I want to find love, but when we actually start going deeper about why she might want to find love and what she's willing to do to create that possibility in her life, we find that there's actually maybe a lot of competing priorities. For example, a woman may be so immersed or so focused upon her career or have such a full life with so many commitments that there's really not a lot of time for her to even meet someone new, let alone have a relationship. And there has to be an analysis, an honest analysis of what your priorities really are. And while, of course, you have to, and I would recommend you have a full and happy life, you also sometimes have to realize that there have to be some allowances made for the possibility of meeting someone and actually maintaining a relationship with someone.
Now, can I back up in just a moment here? And because you hit on something that I think, you kind of worked around something that I think is something out of my own life, that if I can throw this in here,
sure.
Where I think what happens sometimes is that women want to be strong and women want to be independent, which I think are good things. And to me, they're very attractive traits. But
yeah.
But isn't there also the possibility of overplaying that and being able to, in mistaking somehow, being able to depend on somebody and knowing that you can rely on someone for giving up independence and just carrying it so far in that direction that you're actually afraid that if you can depend on somebody, you're giving up your independence?
Yes, Mike, that's such an important point that you just spoke about. And I think that it goes back to what I said when I said there's no way to get to the place of having a fulfilling relationship without having some vulnerability. And part of what I think that women may forget or may not fully understand is I think most men, if they're secure in themselves, are not so much intimidated by successful women as they are put off by invulnerable women. And I think in part a distinction here is that I think men need to feel like they are needed and that they're appreciated and that they can make a contribution to a woman's life. And speaking with my husband, he told me about a woman that he dated at one time who had her act together so much and seemed to have everything just clicking in every aspect of her life so well. He said, I couldn't even see a place where I could even make a difference. And here she was, this amazing, accomplished, educated woman, but in her case, she wasn't able to express her vulnerability as a woman or her vulnerability of still, while she was so accomplished, being able to show that she still needed love and that she still needed companionship and she still would like to have someone around. And while I think she probably felt that way inside, I didn't know her personally, she, for whatever reason, was not able to express that. And my husband said, I just couldn't even see where there would be a place for me where I could make a difference or a contribution. I think your point is really significant. And I do think that many women do become very independent and self-reliant. And in part, that's out of necessity, right? Because if a woman is single and if she is supporting herself and possibly even children. She has to have some of that self-reliance and independence. And yet, it's important as women for us to remember that we need to be able to show this softer, feminine, more vulnerable side from time to time, particularly in a more interpersonal situation with a man that may lead to a relationship. Does that kind of speak to what you were mentioning there?
It certainly does. And one of the interesting questions that you raised in my mind, too, as you were talking about the past emotional baggage is, it's my goodness, how do we get past that? Because it's one of those things where if a guy picks up on that, he's liable to be saying, geez, what did I do? I didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I getting blamed? And of course, I would think that no woman who's really playing honestly would ever do that consciously, certainly would never try to blame someone else for what something someone else did.
Right.
But it certainly sounds to me like you're describing something that has a very powerful impact on relationships. Can you talk about how to overcome that?
Yeah, it does have a very powerful impact on relationships, because if we're projecting what has happened to us in the past onto this new person, and like you said, most people wouldn't do this consciously, but if we're subconsciously doing this, then this person has already kind of got two strikes against them and then three strikes they're out, right? Before they even get up to bat. And they're... This is not an easy thing, particularly if there have been deep wounds or a lot of pain or a lot of sadness that has occurred in a woman's life. And it sometimes requires some very deep and significant personal work to be able to move through this to a healthier place. I know in my own situation, you know, I had to seek counseling. I had to seek support from mentors and coaches. I went through, like I mentioned, reading about 125 books. I went through some programs that I thought would help me to make breakthroughs in areas, not just in my love life, but in other areas where I wanted to transform my life. And in doing, I made a lot of really important self-discoveries about some of my thoughts and some of the ways that I'd been self-sabotaging. And it also made me more able to forgive not only the other people in my life who may have hurt or disappointed me, but to forgive myself for the mistakes that I'd made, for the errors and judgments that I'd made, for even the really stupid things I'd done. And I think that the power of being able to forgive not only the other person or persons, but to also be able to forgive yourself is a real key to being able to let down those barriers and to not project those things from your past or from past relationships onto a new person that you're interacting with. And so I'm not going to say there's an easy fix for this, Mike, because I think that in some cases, including my own, it's quite a journey, and it requires a commitment. As I shared with you when I was sharing my story, I made the decision that I was going to leave no stone unturned. I was going to discover what was holding me back or stopping me or preventing me. And if I didn't find the relationship of my dreams, it wasn't going to be because of some unknown barrier that was holding me back. I was going to figure out everything that I could, because this was significant and important to me, and I really wanted this to be a part of my life. It's a journey for many of us, and I think that it requires the willingness to be open to that and the commitment to yourself and to believe that you are worth going through whatever effort or process that it might take for you to get to where you want to be, not only to have the relationship of your dreams, but to really be able to create a life that you love and that you can enjoy. Because when you're bogged down with those emotions or those feelings or carrying a lot of burdens from the past, it impacts your entire life.
In your website, you have an interesting list of feminine ways to flirt with men. And flirting is such an interesting word. And I think sometimes we tend to think of it as a negative type of thing. And
yeah.
You tend to talk about it, I think, in much more positive terms, and as something that can really help get where you want to go. What are, just give us a couple of those little practical things that maybe people wouldn't think of when they think of flirting. I mean, it can be pretty subtle, can't it?
It can be pretty subtle. And the reason I created this little resource on my website, Feminine Ways to Flirt, is that a lot of the women that I was speaking with, they were in midlife or late 30s, 40s or whatever, had been in, maybe they'd been in a marriage, maybe they'd been in a long-term relationship, or maybe it had just been such a long time since they'd even been on a date that they felt like they were completely out of practice, right? And I had a lot of women saying to me, you know what? I don't even know how to act around a man that I'm interested in anymore. I don't even know what to say. I completely freeze up. I don't know how to get a conversation going. It's fine if I have no interest in the guy, then I'm comfortable and I can be relaxed. But if I think there's any potential or I think he's attractive, I completely lose it and I have no idea how to interact. And I think this is a situation that can make us all feel like we're back in the seventh grade, just going into puberty and trying to figure out how we manage to even make us feel like an awkward, pimple-faced adolescent again.
Can I throw something in?
Yeah.
I would love to say, I want everybody out there to know that this happens to men, too. Okay? You're not alone. This cuts both ways. Let's go ahead and let's talk about flirting.
Yeah, and so that's the reason I made this resource, and I just thought, you know what? You know, a lot of this seems really basic or maybe even a little trite, and you might even think, oh my goodness, I'm going to feel like such a fool. But one of the things that I recommend, and then I'll share with you some of the tips on how to flirt, but one of the things that I recommend to the women that I work with is to practice in safe environments. Practice in the coffee shop when you stop to get coffee on the way to work, or practice when you're standing in line at the grocery store, or practice if you go on Saturday mornings to the home improvement store to pick up something for your house. Practice this on the men that you might see there in the aisles. And even though they may not be someone you're interested in, you can practice these techniques on them. And when you actually meet someone, you're feeling a lot more relaxed and comfortable. And they're not so bold that you're going to freak some poor guy out in Home Depot or something. But the first one, and this, like I said, really comes back to basics, and that's just basically making eye contact and smiling. And wouldn't you agree, Mike, one of the biggest barriers for a man in approaching a woman is if she seems unapproachable, right?
Certainly, and certainly most of us on the male side can pick up that sign very quickly.
Right, and so we're going around with big scowls on our face because we're mad at the world and ticked off at men in general. We're not likely to look very approachable, and so that softening of the facial features into a nice warm smile, you don't have to do a huge grin showing all your teeth every time, but just a nice smile and making eye contact is basically saying, hello, I'm an approachable person, and you don't have to be afraid that if you walk across the room and talk to me that I'm going to bite your head off, right? The first thing, which may seem really basic. And the next thing is, if you do have an opportunity to interact with a man, and I recommend this in general, is to speak kindly to him and speak kindly in your interactions with others. I've had several men tell me that they observed women being a little cranky or rude to other people, and that alone scared them off from interacting with that woman because they were afraid that that's how she may act around him, and she may have just been having an off moment. But you never know when someone may be observing you. And then I believe that speaking kindly and gently and with a calmness that comes from being confident as a woman is also something that's very appealing to a man. Another way is just to ask for his advice or help, because men are flattered usually by being asked and like to have an opportunity to show off their expertise. And their expertise may be about cars, or it may be he's an attorney and you just have some general basic legal concept you want to ask him about or whatever. But a lot of times men just like being asked their advice and having an opportunity to kind of display their expertise. And it can also, going along with this, it can also be as simple as just asking a question. For example, if you're in the line at the coffee shop, you might might say, have you tried the blueberry muffins here? I usually get the bran muffin, but I'm thinking about branching out today. This might seem like a silly question, but it's a way to begin engaging with someone, creating an opening for a conversation. And I can't even tell you how many women that I've had tell me that by asking some simple question, some simple benign question, how it's opened up the opportunity to have a more extended conversation with a man. And these are the kinds of techniques that are pretty easy to practice in very safe settings so that you feel more comfortable when you're doing it with someone that you might have some interest in romantically. Men also like to be appreciated. We've already kind of alluded to this. And when you do have an opportunity to interact with a man, or he gives you a piece of advice, or he takes you out on a date, or he does something nice for you, to express your thanks, just a simple thank you, or letting him know how much you appreciate it. I kind of, you know, share with my clients, it's kind of funny that my husband will oftentimes ask me where I'd like to go to eat. And sometimes I'll say, you know what, honey, I'm just really craving Italian food tonight. And so he'll say, would you like to go to such and such a place or such and such a place? And I'll choose one. Well, then we go out to eat and the food tastes wonderful. I'm happy. He's happy because he's pleasing me. I'm happy because I'm having the Italian food I'm craving. And so then when we leave the restaurant, I always say, you know what, honey, that tasted so good. Thanks for asking me what I wanted and for taking me out for Italian food. And he beams like he prepared the meal himself. You would have thought he had cooked the whole thing from scratch, right? But it's amazing how far just these simple words of thank you and appreciation can go when it comes to relating to a man. That's both a way of flirting and also just a way of enhancing a relationship. I also think receiving his compliments, gifts, and attention graciously. One of the things that as women we sometimes have a tendency to do is to overgive or to give too much too soon. And I encourage my clients, particularly in the early stages of a relationship, to kind of take a step back from that and to graciously receive. And if a woman realizes that a man actually gets a lot of satisfaction out of doing nice things for her and knowing that it pleases her, then that can help her to relax and enjoy it a little bit. Just like I described how my husband feels so proud, like he'd cooked the Italian dinner himself. And then if you're out with a man or speaking to a man at a party or in a social setting, can just reach out and simply touch him gently, like on his arm. The arm tends to be a pretty safe place. The hand is a little bit more intimate, but I'm not saying reach out and grab him, but just a simple touch. That, again, is just kind of a way of expressing warmth and openness, and can also just be a very subtle signal that you're letting a man know that you're interested.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're talking about here is we're talking about how to open ourselves up and to make it clear that we're interested. Okay, let's say we've cleared that hurdle. Now comes the other side of the coin where the danger lies in falling too fast and too hard for a man that they find attractive. And that can also end up doing the exact opposite of what we want. We can drive a person away and turn them off. How do we, once we've broken down the one barrier of letting somebody know, yes, we are interested, we find you interesting and perhaps attractive, how do we also make sure that we're not just going overboard and maybe sending somebody into a panic-stricken flight?
Right, yeah, scaring the poor guy away. That happens, unfortunately, all too frequently. And I think it stems from sometimes insecurity, or it also can stem from just being so thrilled to actually have someone in your life that you think might have the possibility of being someone that you could really care about or love or establish a long-term relationship with. And sometimes, as women, we might get so excited about that we get a little carried away and want to have things move at a fast pace and perhaps even rush things. And as much as we might think we're subtle about this, it can actually be a vibration that a man can get pretty clearly, pretty easily. And it can scare him off because as women, oftentimes we have a tendency to, when we meet someone that we think we could be really interested in, to kind of jump ahead a few steps in our minds. We're already dreaming about the wedding and babies, and he's still thinking about what we might do on the second date, right? And I think there are a couple of things to help women to balance this. And the first thing that I think that is really, really important is clarity in what you really want and need from a relationship. And the reason I think this is so important is that if you have absolute clarity about what you most want and need in a relationship, then you can go into a situation when you're getting to know someone with your eyes a little more wide open, and you can stay more in a place of observation and think of yourself as not just being interviewed for a relationship, because we're kind of interviewing each other when we're getting to know someone. But you can think of yourself not just as being interviewed, like, is he going to want me? Is he going to choose me? But you're also in a place of saying, is this really the kind of person that has the character, that has the qualities, that has the heart of someone that I can really love and respect? And you can take a little time to really analyze that before you fully give yourself over, body, mind, and spirit, before you give this person all your time, attention, and affection. In other words, you can weigh in the balance if this person is really worthy of all of that that you have to give to them. And I think that comes from being really clear about what's most important to you in terms of the qualities and characteristics, and mostly character, that you would want the person that you are going to be with long term to have, and what you would like your life to look like with them. And the second thing that I think really goes along with that is really having the confidence in yourself to believe that you have value. There are women that believe that may have unrealistic expectations about a relationship and believe they've got to have absolutely Mr. Perfect, but I think the greater danger for most women is settling for less than what they deserve. And this tends to stem from a lack of confidence or belief in the value that you intrinsically have as a woman. And there's a mantra that I always share with my clients, and I actually have my clients stand up and do this. Basically, what it is they actually stand up and have their feet about a foot apart, and then raise their arms in the air like they just ran across the finish line in the Olympics. It's kind of a celebratory stance. And the reason that we get the physiological aspect involved, as you involve your body, it makes the mantra go deeper into your mind and into your psyche. And stand in this stance and you say, I am powerful and I am worthy. And the powerful piece is not power over anybody else, but it's power over your controlling your own destiny, power over making the decisions that you want for your life, power over creating the kind of life that you want, power over the decisions and choices that you make that you believe are going to lead you to your best good. And then I am worthy of happiness and the love and respect that I desire in my life. And by saying this mantra over and over until you really believe it, until it really becomes internalized, this can make a difference in your level of confidence and in your feeling of not feeling so desperate or so anxious or so ready to just take the relationship without really exploring or understanding what is there. And that can help prevent scaring a man off in those early stages. So two big things there, clarity and confidence.
Women who are interested in having a long-term committed relationship probably are going to have to be on the lookout, because unfortunately Mr. Right never seems to wear a sign that says, hey, Mr. Right, I'm it. I'm the guy.
Wouldn't that be nice if he did?
Well, it would help from me on the other side if I could have a woman saying, hey, I'm it, here. And
yes, exactly.
The signs may not be that obvious, but I'll bet that you've discovered they're there if we will simply look for them.
Yeah. Again, you know, this clarity piece applies here because in order to really recognize your Mr. Right and that he may be someone that you may want in a long-term relationship, the clarity piece is important. But on the flip side, how do you know if he is relationship ready or marriage material or ready to commit to a relationship with you? And I'll just give you a few ideas here or a few tips that I think might be helpful. And the first is that I think that men's actions can speak louder than their words. And what I mean by that is that there are some men out there who are pretty smooth in terms of being able to flatter a woman or make her feel good or kind of say what she thinks he might want to hear. But unless those words are backed up by actions and follow through and him showing that he has serious intentions with you and with the relationship, then I would say pay attention to the actions, not so much the words. There's a quote that I love by Oprah, and she says, "If a man wants you, nothing can keep him away. If he doesn't want you, nothing can make him stay." And a few years ago, there was this book written by a guy named Greg Behrendt. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's called He's Just Not That Into You, and I think there was a movie they made out of it. I haven't seen the movie, but the whole premise of the book was basically to help women and to protect themselves from wasting all of their years, time, energy, love, and affection on men who were really not ready to commit to them. And I kind of say with men, it's kind of like men are as-is merchandise, and don't go into a relationship thinking that you're going to change him or change his ideas. As an example, if a man has on his online profile or says to you on a first date something like, "Well, I'm not really ready to settle down right now. Just really am looking for someone to have a great time with." A woman may in her mind think, "Oh yeah, he just doesn't know me well enough yet," or if he comes to realize that I'm the right woman, he might really change his mind. While that is possible, I think for the most part you're safer to take him at his word when he says something like that, and then gauge your assessment of what's going on really based upon his actions and his follow through. A man that is really interested in a woman and has serious intentions usually is not that hard to detect because his actions are going to show it by the things that he does.
We've covered a lot of territory in these few minutes that we've spent together, and it's interesting. I want you to first talk about your resources, your books, and your website, and also, if you would, in order to sort of give you the last word as well, what about some other resources or maybe even some other experts that you find helpful at times?
Right. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you a little bit. There's a couple of things that I would like to invite you to take advantage of if you're listening to this recording, and that is, first of all, to go to my main website, which is lovelifecoaching.com, and there you can receive a complimentary 7 attraction principles to attract your Mr. Right. It's a 7-day audio and email course, which will give you a great foundation for beginning your journey on attracting your Mr. Right. And then once you're into my website, there's also a free resources page that has things like a relationship readiness quiz to assess your readiness for a relationship. There are various tip sheets and exercises and articles on a variety of topics that are all complimentary to you as a result of just visiting that page on the website. And then there's also an offer there for you to have a complimentary Meet Mr. Right coaching session where you and I will speak one-on-one for about 30 minutes, and we'll get a real clear snapshot of where you are, where you'd like to be in terms of a relationship, what may be holding you back, slowing you down, or standing in the way, and we'll create an actual 5-part plan to help you to move forward toward the relationship of your dreams, and we can explore to see if it might make sense for you to get some ongoing support directly from me. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention in terms of my resources is that I also do have a program which is called Clarity, Control, and Confidence. And the domain name for that is just Clarity, Control, decodingconfidence.com. And it's a five-part series, a five-part program, and there are five classes that you would have access to as a result of this program. The first one is about getting absolute clarity about what you want and need in a relationship. We've discussed the importance of that already today. The second is learning about what is holding you back, slowing you down, or stopping you, those self-defeating behaviors or self-sabotaging thoughts that may be going on and how to deal with and eliminate those. The third one is mastering your psychology. We typically have these little voices going on in our head giving us these little messages as we're going through dating and relationships, and this is a process of mastering that psychology. The fourth is renewing your appreciation for your divine feminine nature and value as a woman. And then also you will walk away from this series with part five, which is your customized, personalized plan to meet and attract your ideal partner in ways that are comfortable for you. That's the program, and then there are several really nice, juicy bonuses that are listed there as well that you get as a result of participating in the program, but you can find out all about that at claritycontrolconfidence.com. Just a little bit about some of my offerings and some of my programs. And once you opt in to the website for the 7-day e-course, you will also receive, for as long as you like, my weekly newsletter, which is called Love Notes, giving tips and advice and resources and interviews and all different types of things for single women who are on this journey. And I would encourage you to check those resources out and to take advantage of these tools and resources and tips that are available to you. Now, in terms of other resources, you asked me about other resources, and obviously I'm a big fan of other people's resources as well, since I have read so many books and have mentored with so many different people in this area of life. And I do also have on my website a suggested reading list of some of my favorite books of the 125 or so that I've read, and I'm always tweaking and adding new ones to that as I find them. And I also find that there are a lot of free teleclasses and a lot of free telesummit where various experts are interviewed on various aspects of relationships. And that's also something that you might do some research on if you're looking for additional resources, and you're likely to come across some people that might resonate specifically with you. That's one of the ways that I found some of the mentors that I worked with, either reading some of their books or an article they wrote online or hearing them speak on a teleseminar or an interview like we're doing here today. And I resonated with their message and found valuable resources and people to learn from in those ways as well. Those are just some of the ideas that I can share in terms of seeking support and seeking resources. And I've got a lot of foundational materials for that on my website as well.
Michelle Marchant Johnson, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and we thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Mike. I've enjoyed it, and thank you for our time together.
And this is Mike Hennessy, and on behalf of the team at DecodingHim.com, I'd like to thank you for listening and wish you the very best in your relationships. To listen to other interviews from our experts, please visit DecodingHim.com.